Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. United Nations Security Council has approved a resolution condemning Israel's practice of establishing settlements on Palestinian territory. Resolution calls on Israel to immediately and completely cease all settlement activities in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem. In a change from policy, the United States abstained from voting rather than exercise its usual veto. U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power said the abstention was because the U.S. had reservations about the resolution's text.
Some may cast the U.S. vote as a sign that we have finally given up on a two-state solution. Nothing could be further from the truth. None of us can give up on a two-state solution.
Israel's ambassador to the U.N., Danny Dannon, said the resolution was a setback for Israeli-Palestinian relations.
Instead of charting a course forward, you are sending a message to the Palestinians that they should continue on the path of terrorism and incitement.
White House Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes said despite the U.S. repeatedly standing up for Israel, its government had ignored repeated concerns about the growth of settlements in Palestinian territory occupied since 1967. Rhodes noted there are now 90,000 settlers living east of the barrier that Israel had itself created. An Islamic State-linked video purportedly shows the suspect in Monday's deadly truck attack on a German Christmas market calling for more attacks in Europe. Investigators are trying to determine if the 24-year-old was fatally shot Friday by Milan at the train station received network help. This is VOA News. Western security officials are increasingly worried the Islamic State terror group may be a step ahead of renewed efforts to stop terrorist operatives from infiltrating their countries. Fear once centered on IS using migrant and refugee flows to sneak in highly trained operatives bent on carrying out attacks. Now they have expanded to include an equally dangerous possibility. Hundreds of Syrians returned to Aleppo on Friday, checking out their homes after the last rebels left the city on Thursday. Residents wrapped in heavy coats because of the cold crossed into neighborhoods that had recently been dangerous front lines during that battle for Aleppo. Some of them had been able to reach their homes and not been able to reach their homes for 5 years. Meantime, John Jing from the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs spoke with reporters about civilians caught in the middle of Syria's long-running civil war.
And despite calls for an end to besiegement as a tactic of war, we end 2016 with hundreds of thousands of Syrian civilians, 700,000 to be precise, still trapped in besieged locations where humanitarians continue to struggle to gain access for aid.
Also Friday, Russian President Vladimir Putin said Russia, Iran, Turkey, and Syria have agreed to hold peace negotiations in the Kazakh capital to resolve the conflict in Syria. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump used Twitter to call for an expansion of armed nuclear military capabilities, and the TV network MSNBC reports the president-elect told the network, and we quote here, "Let it be an arms race. We will outmatch them at every pass and outlast them all." Trump Press Secretary Sean Spicer subsequently said there would be no arms race because other countries would come to their senses. Russian President Putin told reporters he sees nothing unusual in Mr. Trump's pledge to strengthen U.S. nuclear forces, noting the president-elect had said such in his campaign speeches. American actress and author Carrie Fisher, best known for her role as Princess Leia in the original Star Wars movies, is reported to be in critical condition in Los Angeles, a hospital there after suffering a heart attack near the end of an 11-hour flight from London to California. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com, and we're always available on the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA. This is Russ Davis welcoming you to another edition of Jazz America. The National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences have just announced the Grammy nominees for the 59th edition of these great awards, and we'll celebrate the nominees in all the jazz categories on this edition of Jazz America. In the time I have, there is no way that I can give you all the music that's been nominated in the jazz categories for the 59th Annual Grammy Awards to be given out in Los Angeles on the 12th of February. But I'll do the very best I can. So many great vocalists, players, composers, and arrangers are represented. The best of the best in jazz categories and all the categories of music for the 59th Grammys. Let's begin with one of the veteran players and a great band leader and pianist. He is Fred Hirsch. He's nominated in the category of Best Improvised Jazz Solo, alongside the likes of John Scofield, Brad Meldow, Robbie Coltrane, and Joey Alexander. Here is Fred Hirsch from his album Sunday Night at the Vanguard to begin this celebration of the Jazz Grammy nominees for 2017 on VOA's Jazz America.
I can't believe that you're in love with me. You're telling everyone I know I'm on your mind each place we go. They can't believe that you're in love with me. Above me, I just can't imagine that you love me. And after all is said and done, to think that I am the lucky one, I can't believe that you're in love with me.
Nominated in a very tough category, always the Best Jazz Vocal Album category, alongside the likes of Renee Marie, Kurt Elling, Gregory Porter, and Tierney Sutton, that's Catherine Russell from her sixth release, Harlem on My Mind, as she delves into what she calls the African-American songbook, singing in the style of Billie Holiday and Dinah Washington and Ethel Waters, inspired by Fats Waller and others. Hope you enjoyed her version of the classic I Can't Believe That You're in Love with Me. And best of luck to Catherine Russell in winning in the Best Jazz Vocal Album category. We're saluting the jazz nominees for the Grammys this year here on VOA's Jazz America. And let's get some thoughts from a very accomplished guitarist, composer, and multi-award winner, John Scofield. He has two nominations this year in the Best Improvised Jazz Solo and Best Jazz Instrumental Album category for his work on his new album, Country for Old Men. Let's get some thoughts from John Scofield, then some music from that album here on VOA's Jazz America.
John Schofield has allowed us to hang out with him for about half an hour or so, I think, at least. And it's great to see you again.
Oh, great, Russ. Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, I got to start this by just remarking about something. I've been thinking about this. You know, people try all their lives to achieve something. And, you know, I thought about this coming over here. I bet your mom and dad are really proud of you, because look at it this way. I'm thinking about some real luminaries. Gary Burton talked to me about, you know, when I saw John, he was just a young guy, I knew he had something special. You know, Matheny saying, oh, I loved John from the first moment I met him in Boston. I knew right away this guy was really something. The other day, a young guitar player said, I want you to hear my new record. It's got like a Schofield thing going on. You know, John, they should be proud of you. You have carved out a unique niche. You've reached a high level. You're doing wonderful things that the whole world loves. You got to be happy.
I am happy, Russ. I'm really, really lucky, you know, and like everybody, I have to remind myself of that, because it's the human, you know, it's human nature to always want more. But, but the thing is, I'm really lucky. I mean, I'm really have had great things happen. And it's been like that for a while, Russ, you know, So, and my parents were proud of me. They both passed away, but they were proud of me. And, and it was, and they were really supportive of me, and they were knocked out that it actually worked out, you know, because when I was a kid and wanted to do music, I mean, like any parent, parents, they were very unsure, because they were my dad was a businessman, you know, my mom was a housewife. They didn't know from the music business at all. They were like, huh, you want to do this? But back in the 60s, when I first started, and then in the 70s, they supported me and allowed me to do it. And it was really something that most parents didn't do back then. They do it more now, but back then it was, you know, you were really weird if you did that.
Yeah, they wanted you to have something to fall back on.
That's right, the old fall back on routine. And I didn't. I went to Berklee School of Music, you know, and then after 2.5 years just started playing gigs. So it worked out, thank goodness. Whew.
And from his album that celebrates his love of American country and folk music, and since we mentioned his parents, his father and mother, in our conversation, here's one dedicated to her. It's called Mama Tried. John Schofield's remake of a country classic on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you.
There is so much wonderful big band and large ensemble work in jazz each and every year. I know that those folks at the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences who choose the nominated works for each year have a tough, tough time. One of the nominated releases in the Best Instrumental Composition category came for Tim Davis and the Tim Davis Big Band from the album The Expensive Train Set. Hope you enjoyed the music from that work here on VOA's Jazz America as we continue our celebration of the jazz nominees for the 59th Grammy Awards. More coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And recently I've received messages from two listeners in Kenya, Emmanuel Ndeto and Francis Chege, who both wrote to ask me if the times for Jazz America had changed. And they were right. The time has changed with Jazz America's airing at a different time on their local radio station in Kenya. And for anyone who has witnessed a change in time for Jazz America, I suggest you contact your local radio station and ask them about when Jazz America is now aired on your local channel. Now let's get back to the celebration of the Grammy nominees for this year. The 59th Grammys in Los Angeles on the 12th of February will announce winners in many different categories. One of those categories with really spicy music is the Best Latin Jazz Album category. And here is the master from Cuba, Chucho Valdez, from his album Tribute to Ira Kire, live in Marciac, recorded live in France, with a song entitled Afro-Funk, to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America in celebration of the Grammy nominees.
Porque la niña,
songs.
Get it on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome John DeVersa and his Progressive Big Band.
than will I bend either shady tree. I love him more than he's loving me. He feels good. He knows he's a goodbye.
With vocalist Renee Olstead joining him, that is the great trumpeter, arranger, composer, bandleader, and two-time Grammy nominee this year, John DaVersa. From the album Kaleidoscope Eyes, music of the Beatles, Good Day Sunshine. And Mr. DaVersa, we wish him all the best of luck in winning in two different categories, Best Arrangement for Instruments and Vocals and Best Arrangement for Instrumental or a cappella. Now, let's turn to one of the masters of jazz for decades, Kenny Barron, and wish him the best of luck in winning in the Best Jazz Instrumental Album category with his trio for their album Book of Intuition. We'll hear a cut from that album after we talk to Kenny Barron here on VOA's Jazz America. This conversation occurred just after Kenny had been named an NEA Jazz Master.
The Philadelphia soul sound, you know, came in pop music. There was a big explosion of pop music that came out of Philadelphia in the middle 60s to late 60s
right,
beyond. So that's an interesting time period there for someone like you to develop.
It was also interesting because while I was there, I studied classical piano for 10 years from the age of 6 till I was 16. I was listening to jazz, and I was also listening to pop music, or not pop music, because there was no such thing for us. It was rhythm and blues.
Uh-huh, sure.
So I was listening to rhythm and blues at the same time, which is all those groups named after birds and, you know, the Orioles and doo-wop.
Yeah.
I was listening to that, James Brown, who I love.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, I mean, that's all part of the experience.
Yeah.
You know, listening to B.B. King and things like that. So it's all part of it.
There are so many different facets of jazz that are developing, and as long as you stay true to the essence of the music, you can incorporate the things around you, like Brazilian influence or anything else that's available out there to you. But you have to stay true to that core in some way. Now, I know that Winton, I've talked to Winton a few times about this, and he says that if it does not address the blues and doesn't swing, it isn't jazz. And that may be just a little bit of a narrow sort of way of looking at it, because I think that when you incorporate those other things, maybe it doesn't exactly have the swing rhythms. But
it's hard to be objective about that.
Mm,
you know, swing means something different to everybody. It's hard to say that swing means chicka-dang, chicka-dang, chicka-dang. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Joe Jones kind of hitting on the hi-hat thing.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that. I happen to think that Brazilian music swings in its way. Or Japanese music swings, or African music swings.
Mm-hmm.
No, not like American jazz. No, of course not, because it's not American jazz. You know, so you have to kind of put yourself in that place, you know. And listen to the music from that place. You know, you start comparing. Yeah, no, it's not going to sound like the blues, you know. But I think it all swings. You know, it's all good. You know, B-flat is a B-flat. As you know, it's the same 12 notes, no matter, you know.
I'm going to write that down. It's one of those phrases I'm going to remember. There's only two kinds of music, good and bad. B-flat is a B-flat.
Yeah,
it's only,
you know,
got 12 notes.
That's my feeling, you know, which doesn't mean it's right. It's just my feeling, you know. And I think the music is large enough to encompass a lot of stuff, you know. If it doesn't address the blues, what does that mean? You know, does it mean playing blues cliches or licks or, you know, what does that mean, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough one because I ask him, you know, well, what about funk? Because that sure does seem like blues structure to me.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't go with that. And I don't want to start trouble here. I love Winton. I love his playing. I love his composing and, whatever. So I'm not trying to argue with him or anything like that. But, you know, dialogue is healthy.
Yeah, it's important, you know. And no one person knows everything.
Mm.
You know, the only thing a person can do is express their opinion.
Mm-hmm. True.
And that's all it is.
Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one.
And from the Grammy-nominated Book of Intuition album, the Kenny Barron Trio with the song Lunacy on Jazz America from VOA 1.
this is Tierney Sutton, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
Boom, ba, 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 ba
another of the great singers in the Best Jazz Vocal Album category, Tierney Sutton and her band for the Sting Variations. More Grammy nominees next hour.